the impact of myasthenia gravis symptoms can pile up. Plans getting rescheduled. Hobbies being left behind. Everyday tasks going unfinished. If MG keeps disrupting your life, the burden may be bigger than you realize. Learn how to assess and track the impact of your symptoms so you can talk about it with your healthcare team. Take the next step to better understand how MG symptoms may be impacting your life. Visit mgsymptomimpact.com.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This summer, whatever you're watching, baseball, golf, soccer, racing, DraftKings has you covered for every single moment of it. The DraftKings Sports app is now available in all 50 states, bringing the game straight to your fingertips wherever you are. New DraftKings customers, sign up with code KSR. Spend $5 to get 150 in rewards within 14 days. Includes all markets. That's code KSR. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut? Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus. Void in Canada. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Bet to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Trade to get prediction dollars that expire in 1 year. $50 in rewards issued every 7 days via click to claim for 14 days. One non-withdrawable reward redeemable. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Good morning. This is case number 18-CA-5321. I should have asked everyone to take their appearances first, starting with the plaintiffs.
I'm Greg Anderson, Nick Whitney on behalf of the plaintiffs.
Ethan Shapiro, Pat Krolls, Howard Hunter, David Hughes, joined by Dr. Jenny Dolan on behalf of the defense.
And did we yesterday introduce the corporate representative? I don't recall getting the corporate representative yesterday.
I believe it was Dr. Beatrice Tepes Sanchez.
Okay. What's first issue up?
We'd like to discuss exhibits.
I've got the exhibit list right here.
Fantastic. We'd like to begin on the top of the second page, which begins with Dr. Sally Smith's notes at 2118, and then pages 61 and 62.
Mr. Reyes, if you can help me out by putting it up on the screen.
I can put 62 next to it. So, Your Honor, here you have,
if you put both up to get set aside,
you have Dr. Smith's personal notes, the cover page as produced to us. And then the first note in there is the note reflecting her call with Dr. Tepes Sanchez on October 8th before in the initiation of the DCF investigation.
What is the position of the defense?
Judge, our position on this is that it requires interpretation. It adds no value to the jury, and the lawyers are then going to try to interpret it in front of the jury with what they believe this is.
You can always call Dr. Sally Smith. The court finds this note to be relevant, and it will submit 2118-061 and 062. What's next?
Pages 065 to 075, if you put up two at a time, 65 and 66 to begin, please. Your Honor, the first, I think, eight pages, are Sally Smith's notes reflecting her interview with Beata Kowalski inside Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. And it reflects Beata's relation of Maya's history of diagnosis and treatment over the previous year and a half.
Judge, this is Chapter 39 immunity. This is clearly her investigation. It has nothing to do with her allegations about treatment or being part of St. Joseph's. This is her investigation into the, as she starts.
Can I, because right now you only have up 65 and 66 of Exhibit 2118, are 67 through 75 consistent with what we see here?
Yes, except if you could go to the last two pages, pages 74 and 75, please. The last two pages should be the interview with, well, if you call it an interview, the encounter with Jack Kowalski inside of Maya's hotel room.
I'm sorry. I thought all of 65 to 75 was just with Beata. So
65 to 73 is interview with Beata.
Well, let me do 65 and 66. We've already seen. So let me see 67 and 68.
Understood.
Seventy-one and 72.
And 74 begins the note with Jack Kowalski.
So it's 65 through 73 is for Beata. Okay, so 74, can you put 74 and 75 back up next to each other? This question, Ms. Corrales. An issue in this case is whether Dr. Sally Smith was impacting or directing or influencing or actually causing Maya Kowalski's care. Somehow influencing her care, which is a role outside of her role as an evaluator for, whether you call it DCF, the Child Protection Team, the Dependency Court. In that second role, I totally agree that, you know, what she was doing would not be admissible. However, there is this allegation, and there's evidence that Dr. Sally Smith was in fact treating or impacting the treatment of Maya Kowalski, and there's a claim for parent agency. So it does seem like getting a history from the parents would be important, and it's probably something you would want the jury to know. That yes, she was getting information from all sides. Because if I keep it out, then how does this information come in? That she was trying to do a robust.
Ms. Rollman wants to respond.
Oh, okay. I defer.
Well, Your Honor, to be clear, her investigation as a CPT leader is clearly outside the scope of the law. She's immune for that. We're immune for that.
And I agree.
And so the issue of apparent agency is whether we held her out to Mr. and Mrs. Kowalski such that they believed she was an agent of ours. Not because she really is, because you found that she's not really an agent. And that because we held her out in that fashion, they relied upon her to do something that she did that is medical malpractice. And so just as we could have called 100 other people who were had staff privileges at the hospital to say, well, what do you think about this? And that would not have made them an apparent agent. The things you've been listening to, assuming they're true in all of that, is things that she did consulting with the hospital, but not things that make her an apparent agent for which the Kowalskis have a claim against her. The theory would have to be, and conceivably could be, but it hasn't been alleged, that the actual treating physicians relied upon someone that they should have known was committing malpractice and giving advice to them, and that they relied on advice that was, and in doing so, they breached their standard of care. But it nothing has to do with her standard of care unless it's something that the Kowalskis themselves believed that they were authorizing and letting her do because she was an agent of the hospital. And so far, I haven't heard much of any evidence on that issue.
Judge, with respect to the exhibit, though, my concern about this exhibit is I believe it clearly is part of her interview with respect to that, and we're putting notes into evidence that he could then publish to the jury with no context, and they would have to try to interpret what these means. What does it mean? Donor, arrow, reject. I mean, there's no context for them, and exhibits, I think the 9403 analysis is they have to be helpful for the jury. They have to give them information, and this requires interpretation, and the 39. And she's not a party.
Well,
I understand.
I go back to, in some respects, this is muddled because Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital muddied it at the beginning. And I'm now trying to excise that which is clearly Chapter 39. I mean, but we do have this overlay. So now, Mr. Whitney, clearly Sally Smith does have a role in the Chapter 39 process. So why do we need these notes in your case? Why isn't it just the better course to keep these notes about the conversation with Beata and Jack Kowalski out?
Because we don't have testimony from Beata on this issue, but we have testimony from Jack Kowalski on this issue that she was brought into the hospital wearing a lab coat, presenting herself as a Johns Hopkins physician, and that's when this interview occurred. And it goes to the hearsay exception. If it's a hearsay exception, I haven't heard one, but this is statements for the purposes of medical treatment. And she had this role where, I mean, we can list off four or five different capacities she served in the hospital. She had active staff privileges. She was on several executive committees. She accessed the record on October 8th. She fixed her paper chart to the chart of Maya Kowalski, or her report, I should say, to the chart of Maya Kowalski. So that was the first thing that informed the care of these physicians, as you heard from Dr. Newberg yesterday. And in her own testimony, she admitted to wearing a Johns Hopkins name badge. So she was an apparent agent during these interviews.
I thought, didn't Maya Kowalski testify that Dr. Sally Smith was wearing a name badge and not a lab coat? Did I mishear that?
Yes.
I think Jack Kowalski testified she was wearing.
I'm pretty confident. We'll have to go back to the transcript. I'm pretty confident Mike Kowalski testified in the lab coat as well.
No. Judge, in regard to her report, it wasn't part of the electronic record. It was separate and apart, just in the paper record with confidential stamped on it.
And I'd like to point out one more thing on relevance, if I could.
Sure.
The allegation against the parents and especially Beata, to support the diagnosis of Munchausen by proxy, a hospital diagnosis, is that she was failing to give complete and accurate history of Maya's medical care and withholding information from the hospital. And a 7-page interview reveals she's doing exactly the opposite.
Here's how I think we need to handle it. This information is relevant. It clearly comes, or there's hearsay exceptions to it. I think ultimately, Mr. Altenburn, ultimately we're going to have to do it with this jury instruction pack.
Yeah.
If the jury finds that she's not the apparent agent, then ultimately they're not going to be able to consider these notes.
And that's, of course, going to be my position that all these committees and things that she's supposedly on is not something the Kowalskis knew about at all. They didn't rely upon any of that stuff. And so it's really important to focus on what it takes to be an apparent agent in the situation, in this context or practically any other context. And I'm not hearing that.
This information certainly, when I say this information, this exhibit 2118 from pages 65 through 75 could be viewed as chapter 39, but it also can be viewed, and so there's two purposes that this, and so ultimately I'm going to let it in, but we're going to have an instruction when we come to the end of the case. Just kind of like, I already said what I was going to say.
Understood.
So I am going to admit 2118, pages 65 to 75. What's next?
Page 80 in the same exhibit.
Let me see page 80. Just page 80, please.
Your Honor, these are Sally Smith's notes reflecting her participation in the care and treatment of Maya Kowalski during the hospitalization. She's talking about her observations in the hospital, her review of the PT records, etc.
Judge, same. Chapter 39 argument, and again, she's sheltered at this point. This is the day. What are you talking about?
What?
Well, this is again requires so much interpretation by the jury. How could this provide any relevance?
Yeah, I'm more in your camp on this one, Ms. Crowell's. I mean, this one talks more overtly about Chapter 39 because this is visitation. We're talking about putting on makeup.
That's my question. How is makeup relevant to Chapter 39?
Because it goes to her views in the Chapter 39 proceeding. And I don't see how the makeup issue is for diagnostic treatment. This note looks different in tone and scope than the notes of the interview with mom and dad. So I think 80 will be excluded.
Understood. We can move to 88, please.
This 88 looks like 80. This doesn't look like it's a note about care and treatment.
Well, what I need to say on this, Your Honor, is that there was a bizarre focus on Maya's sexualization or sexualized behavior in this hospital, including Catherine Beatty. We have testimony about Catherine Beatty introducing the concept of sex websites to Maya Kowalski. And so we think these notes are indicative of the hospital's attitude to Maya Kowalski during this time. That sexualized behavior, plucking eyebrows, shaving legs daily has anything to do with a Chapter 39 investigation.
The difference is Dr. Sally Smith was the medical director of the CPT and was doing the investigation or was part of the investigation. Catherine Beattie was an employee of the hospital responsible for the care and treatment.
I understand the rule.
So I think 88 is out as well.
Page 110, please. Now, here, Your Honor, you have Dr. Sally Smith relating things directly related to Maya's discharges in January. And the reason we know that is because the doctor mentioned here, the two doctors mentioned at the top are Kristen Danielson and Alexis Major. And importantly here, it says that they're trying to change documentation. And the joint exhibit that's already admitted reflects that the documentation was changed, and the difference between the January 6th discharge note and the January 13th discharge note is stark. The diagnoses are different. Kennedy Krieger has to do with the hospital's alleged attempts to transfer, their discussions about Munchausen syndrome by proxy and conversion disorder. So these are medical treatment for Maya Kowalski. I would agree that there's a note here that says concern regarding legal situation might need to be redacted. And then at the bottom, importantly, it's more history from the parents regarding what you've heard from Dr. Kirkpatrick and Dr. Chopra regarding Dr. Schwartzman, the foremost scholar on CRPS treatments and ketamine to treat those things. So we think this should be admitted.
Judge.
David Silverstein.
Yeah, thank you. He's the attorney, obviously, in the DCF, so you can't just pick and choose little things when clearly the whole sheet is regarding DCF issues.
Ms. Cross, with exception of the two references, concern raised, legal proceedings, and Dr. Silverstein, the rest kind of looks like medical-related matters.
Well, except, Judge, that this was discussions with DCF trying to get her transferred to another facility. It was all in the DCF hearing. There were constant efforts within the DCF hearing to case to get her transferred. So to say this is about her medical treatment when you're talking about Kennedy Krieger, which is one of the facilities they wanted to get her transferred to, you have the attorney involved, you have it involving legal situations to try to say this is about medical care, when clearly this note is all about the DCF situation.
You're suggesting that DCF or the dependency court was directing Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital to change documentation in the medical file?
Judge, I'm saying that note requires interpretation, and so they're going to make that argument. It just says Alexis. It says trying to change that too clearly, and it's not even finished. That's my whole point, Judge, is these notes have no context. They're going to be shown to the jury and say, interpret them how you wish when there's no context with the note. That's...
You're welcome to call Dr. Sally Smith. I am fine if the defense wants to redact out the phrase concern Ray legal situation and David Silverstein.
We'll leave that in, Judge. I think it put context to the notes. It's all about the DCF.
And the whole note's coming in, which is, Madam Clerk, that's 2118, page 110. What's next?
Your Honor, we now move to the risk management file and pages 57 to 59. This is internal to the hospital, and they are looking up the licensure of Beata Kowalski.
Judge, we don't understand the relevance to this to any of the claims.
The risk management department at the hospital does not exercise Chapter 39 investigatory functions. So the relevance of this is creates questions as to why they're doing this.
Why is the hospital investigating the parents? I mean, why would that be a normal function in a treatment case?
If a parent is giving history and professing to know a great deal of information, you may want to know whether they are, in fact, a nurse. That's it.
Then I'm sure you can have a witness to say what you just said, Mr. Hunter. But this does not look Chapter 39 at all. And so it's a statement by the hospital and an action by the hospital, so it's coming in. Court will receive 2277 dash, is it 057?
Yes, it'd be 057.
There's a third page they say. We haven't seen 59.
Can you go 59, please, Dan?
59's on the right side. Okay, pages 57 through 59. Let me see 59.
59's on the right side, Your Honor.
Okay. There we go. Court received 2277, pages 57 through 59.
Next, Your Honor, 2277, page 141.
And let's put it up, please.
Your Honor, the relevance of this email has to do with the Kowalskis' testimony that they were threatened with security. And you'll see a mention in this discussing the Kowalski family and recordings that they're discussing a security guard.
Judge, this is...
Well, can I see the first page of this email so I can have the context?
So it'd be 142, and I think it goes to 143. We're only seeking to introduce this, but I understand the court's request. 142, 143, please.
Judge, this is in October 31 and October 28.
I see that.
Okay.
Can I see the, go back to 141 now?
Oh,
yeah, it's
the security guard at the hospital.
And Your Honor, could also redact the entirety of...
Just let me have a chance to read.
Sorry, I apologize.
Okay, the only possible thing that could come in is that first, or what does this mean? Also, Patty, the security guard who confirmed 2 weeks for me is Doug. Because the date here is October 31st, which is
right.
Certainly after, substantially after the pendency court sheltered.
Sure.
Maya.
Yeah.
So even 2 weeks prior to October 31 would still be at a time after the shelter. So
I understand. We can withdraw.
Okay.
Two, three, four.
What am I looking at here?
Looking at further internal documentation in the risk management file about the false imprisonment we've alleged over the course of 48 hours. That's why you see on the fourth entry there, it says about 48 hours. You see who's involved again. That's confirmed by the text. Paula Dees, Sally Smith, Cindy Jenkins, all are mentioned in the text messages. You're seeing what these physicians, and I'm not sure who Ms. Jenkins is, were doing to, weaponize that video or whatever they were doing with that video. 5 to 10 minutes, 5 to 6 samples. I think it says on server, everything. I don't know what that says. I don't know if that's a race. I don't know what that word is. And when she left room, we stopped recording, can see her leave room, orient a flash drive to put on OneDrive, so marked as to what Dr. Sally Smith looked at. So she was directing I believe the hospital's position is that this video was for care and treatment of Maya Kowalski.
I remain befuddled, Mr. Hunter. How is it that risk management continues to talk about this if the EEG room was actually for the care and treatment? I'm just befuddled.
There are two tracks this is on, Your Honor, and there is an explanation for it. But I would suggest to Your Honor that what's happening here is he's putting these in without a predicate and inviting the jury to speculate and to put a burden on us to furnish the predicate for his evidence. That stands the whole process on its head.
Judge, they could have called Dr. Smith if they wanted to put these documents in so that they had some sort of context for the jury. Instead, they're just putting random documents in and then obligating us to do that, to explain their exhibits that they're putting in.
Well, it seems very highly relevant to me. And this is a statement by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, so it overcomes the hearsay exception. Parties had already agreed to the authenticity of all these documents, so I think it's fair game. Court will receive 2277-2, is it 3-4?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 2-3-4.
I'm cognizant of the time. Do you want to continue or?
There's only three more left of the risk management. Let's just do that and then go to the jury.
Sure. Well, I have.
Unless the next ones are going to be huge. Letter to the doctors or to Deborah Salisbury.
Yeah, let's skip that one. That's probably going to be a big discussion. Maybe 248.
All right, this is a risk management file reflecting treatment discussions involving Jennifer Katzenstein.
Okay, well, the first three all are DCF-related matters.
Well, six lines down, Maya feels we, ACH, is lying to her about her mother, that doctors are lying about her parents. And then Maya, since this past weekend, has taken step backwards since father can visit unsupervised now. Heard this from multiple persons involved in the care of Maya.
Judge, this is all DCF related.
Well, if the hospital knows that Maya Kowalski feels the hospital is lying and the hospital hasn't done anything, that is outrageous, honestly. Hugely relevant. It also is talking about that she's taken a step backwards, which is contrary to the theme of the defense, which is she did better when she left this hospital. So that's relevant there. So I tend to agree with you. If we want to redact out this top part of the note, I am... probably should do that.
Judge, if you're going to put it in, put the whole thing in. But with all respect, I think Your Honor's misapprehended our position with reference to the step backward thing.
Judge, we also requested, and I can't remember now why, because I did this days ago, that if you put this in, 249 needs to go in for clarity because it's the second page of the
note. 249.
I actually don't remember why I wrote that.
And if they want this in, I don't know what to say to that, but the reason we didn't is because we think this, I mean, other than the continued treatment team and the second Kay Rhodes pain management suggestion, the rest of it looks to me to touch on the DCF.
Well, here's...
Yeah, Judge, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, Judge, these notes are started and bookended with DCF issues, and they want to snip out the middle. If this goes in, we believe the whole thing goes in, because you can see at the second page, it says Michael Kelly apologized for making certain comments to Maya and gave Maya the wrong impression in doing so, which goes back to the fact that Maya thought we were lying to her.
And if you want this second page in and not redact the first half, but I'm being very clear, just by this note coming in does not mean we are opening the door to dependency action. That is not.
We're not looking to do that, Judge. So, that's why, frankly, I object to most things, is because I'm concerned about agreeing to things without the court viewing them first.
It just points out that there's a
a line that's trying to be drawn here that's virtually impossible to draw.
Well, but I get paid to draw the line, and I'm drawing the line.
Okay, I understand.
Whether I'm right or wrong,
I get paid to make a record. So
Your Honor, just to be clear on something, because there's a distinction between what goes on inside the 39 proceeding and that context of this. It is very, very difficult. And frankly, you know, you have added to the suicide thing now a substantial factor test, and I know for sure they're going to ask for both of these tests now. Well, a substantial factor is a factor in an overall picture. So when we put on our case, we're going to have to, I guess, because of substantial factor, trying to show the whole context. Some of their experts have also talked about the whole context. So the fact that there is that proceeding and that she was at a proceeding when she got upset and decided to commit suicide and all that, that's all going to be very relevant in this case. And trying to explain the supervision of the visitation and all of that, we're going to have to put on evidence.
And then let me just push back a little bit on what you said. I needed to understand where Florida law was on the issue. And I think I told you back, I don't know how many days or weeks ago, that when I was doing that analysis, I was just, what is the status of law? I did not couple it with the pleadings or anything like that. Right. I think I made that clear. So I'm not saying that they pled it or anything like that. I just, in my mind, had to understand, because obviously this is not something that comes up every day or week or year under Florida law. And so, you know, I had to do the deep dive to understand it first.
And I understand that. And of course, I'm in the posture where they're about to rest. I'm going to have to make a DV, and I don't quite even know what the standard is that I'm going to have to argue on intentional infliction for wrongful death. So it's a difficult situation for both sides, and I'm just trying to point out that how this case plays out, if it goes on to our case, some of this stuff is going to have to come in to explain the circumstances under which she was committing suicide.
So to be clear, let me just recap. Normally, I would just let in the lower half of 248, but at the defense request, not to redact the top half of 248 and to add 249, the court will receive those two documents under that situation because of how I ruled.
Understood.
But it is not an opening of the door to the dependency action. So the court receives exhibits 2277, pages 248 and 249.
And Judge, to be clear, the reason we're asking for that is the court's ruling to admit the middle part.
Yeah. Right, and that's why I think I was just articulating is because of how I ruled.
Right.
In your reaction, you said, because of that, then do this and that.
Right, I was making our record clear, too. That's
yeah, I was hoping to articulate it clearly, so.
You did.
Okay. Let's go. This next one's a letter to Salisbury, so that's probably, let's skip that.
All right.
We're past 9 o'clock anyway. One other thought, since Mr. Altenburn talked about DV, from a timing perspective, are you still resting sometime on Monday?
Yes, Your Honor, that is our plan. I'd like to say for the record, though, if the defense is planning to open the door and start talking about all of these hearings, we have a new trial. And so I don't think the court wants to go there. I don't think we've gone there.
Look, we will address that if and when it comes. I don't want to start making rulings on things that haven't happened.
Yes, sir.
Just
like I don't like giving advisory opinions.
Yes, sir. And
I call the balls and strikes that are actually thrown, not what I want you all to throw.
Would that represent enough of those?
So, my understanding is you're likely to rest on Monday. So my thought process is that we will delay the DV motions until 4 p.m. on Monday. The defense will have to start. And I want a time shift when the DV motions ordinarily would be done because I don't want to burn time with a jury. And
we agree.
So I'm just making it clear. I'm going to time shift when we're going to do the DV. And that so no one is going to be seen as waiving anything because I am making the decision to not do DV motions the moment that the plaintiffs rest. And this is an accommodation to our schedule and to make sure that we efficiently use our very valuable and very dwindling time with the jury.
We agree.
And Judge, for the other side, we will not plan on any live witnesses on Monday. We will have depositions.
No, I need you to be ready to go.
No. We'll play depositions. I'm telling the other side, because they don't know exactly when they'll finish and all that. We didn't want to have a live witness lined up. They don't need to be prepared for a live witness on Monday. We'll play deps.
I appreciate that. So long as we are
using
jury time, but
yes.
Live.
As you may not, I have one more scheduling problem that I'm resolving. It's as to Dr. Richards.
Is it today?
He is not going to be able to go today. He had a death in the family. He's on a plane. I'm going to try to do him by Zoom on Monday morning, and then I should be able to rest after that.
Okay, let's go get the jury. Well, happy Monday, everyone. Are we ready for the weekend? Okay. Well, we've got a full day for you before we get there. I want to confirm that while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did no investigation and received no information. Is that all correct? And have you been approached by anyone about this case since the last time you were with us? Have you seen any media accounts of this case since the last time you were with us? Okay. With that, Mr. Anderson, please call your next witness, sir.
Maya Kowalski.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be true, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
State your name for the record, please.
Maya Kowalski.
And you recall, Maya, that we had you on here before. But we had separated out to have you talk about some of the human damages at this point. And I wanted to go into three and really four different areas involving your physical and emotional pain and suffering, mental anguish, and the loss of capacity to enjoy life. And then I would like to go into a little bit about the loss of your mom on the wrongful death claim. So I want to start out on physical and emotional pain and suffering and ask you how what has happened here has affected you, and do you believe that you do need medical or psychological treatment from time to time?
Most definitely, yes.
And so are there problems about this that you can explain to the jury?
Yes, so I still experience CRPS pain, and unfortunately I am a little bit scared to seek treatment because of what happened last time, how I ended up at Johns Hopkins. I'm also a little bit afraid to even talk about my pain, one, because I don't want to worry my dad, and two, because I don't want people to tell me that I'm faking it.
Is it hard for you to describe symptoms?
It's not hard for me to describe symptoms. It's more so that I'm afraid that they won't be believed.
Is that difficult for you when for so long your statements, your pleas, if you will, about your pain were disregarded or you were told that they weren't real?
I'm sure to the leading, Your Honor.
Overruled.
Yes, and I still suffer from that to this day.
To this day, do you still have any feelings inside where you question yourself if there is an injury or emotional issue?
Yeah, so I told the story a little bit about how I broke my pinky playing football, and I waited a couple of days before I actually went and got help for it. I thought, maybe it will go away. I'm just being dramatic. And I kid you not, my pinky was completely to the side. And I actually only sought treatment after my aunt, because she worked at the surgery center that I went to get it fixed. I was only comfortable knowing that she was in the operating room with me.
Now, the jury would like to know, though, they know that you've seen like a dermatologist, and you've been to the dentist, I think?
Correct.
All right. So
why are you able, and you were actually admitted into a hospital up at Arnold Palmer, I think, for one of your relapses, were you not?
Yes, I was. So with Arnold Palmer, the first thing that we did was talk to my primary care physician, John Wozner. And when he talked to the hospital individually, that's when I felt comfortable going to the hospital and staying there. If you talk to the doctors, they would tell you that I definitely wanted to get out. I stayed there for a week, and then we continued the rest of the treatment at home. Sorry, what was the first part of that question? I completely forgot.
It was about whether with physical, and, well, first about the dermatologists the dentists. You've been to those.
Yes, so, I mean, I haven't really been wronged before by a dermatologist or a dentist. Those appointments typically last about an hour, so I feel more comfortable going there.
And also, from your perspective, does it seem likely that your dermatologist or your dentist will try to have you taken away?
Yeah, I don't think, like, a dentist would ever do that, and I've never heard of such a thing.
So how are you sleeping now? I understand you recently discovered melatonin, but...
Yeah, so I'm not sleeping that great. There's two sides to it. So it's either I stay up all night, I am in pain, and I'm thinking about all of this, the legal stuff and John Hopkins All Children's Hospital memories, or I fall asleep and I have nightmares and I wake up sweating. Sometimes I cry because whenever I dream, it's not dreams. It's more nightmares and remembering all the trauma.
Okay. So how many hours do you sleep on average a night?
Five.
What happens? Maybe try tramadol? Any of those?
Have trazodone, yes. And
trazodone.
I mean, again, I'm able to fall asleep, but then once I enter REM sleep, you know, I start dreaming and it's just too difficult.
Does it wake you up even with the trazodone?
Yes.
And so now, Maya, they know... everyone knows that you're a very, very good student, but can you tell the jury about any difficulties that this emotional pain and suffering and physical as well, to the extent it's been aggravated, has changed your ability to focus, study?
Yes, so when I'm experiencing higher levels of pain, it's harder for me to concentrate on the material, and then with my mind just thinking about John Hopkins all the time, because I haven't been able to get proper therapy, I could be reading a paper, I could get to the bottom of the page, and I have not absorbed a single thing, and I have to reread it like three times before I actually remember it.
That adds to the time you need to absorb material in school and so forth.
Yeah, it takes me a significant amount of time. Even though I'm smart, it's very difficult.
How does it affect your pleasure reading? Or do you do pleasure reading, I guess?
Yeah, no, I don't even read anymore. I would like to, because I do enjoy reading. I like learning.
Okay. Now, have you found any difficulty with talking about... Strike that. Have you kept up with some of your friends, people that you knew or know who... have or had CRPS?
Well, I did have one friend with CRPS, but she did pass away from it a year after my mom passed away.
Your okay. Honor, again, we raised the objection about discussing other people's medical care.
I'm going to overrule that.
But that's it. Yeah. Thank you, Judge.
So, and we also object on relevance.
Overrule the relevance.
So what effect, then, and are your... How are you doing right now, by the way, in terms of pain and symptoms?
I've had CRPS, you know, since I got diagnosed with it, and it does fluctuate. I go through periods of time where it's better and then other times where it's worse. I think just with everything going on, it has been a little bit harder to cope with. The last week in particular has been a little bit more taxing than usual, and it's hard to make it through the day.
As you sit here right now, though, has the jury seen you in here? How would you rank your pain on a 1 to 10 scale as you sit here right now?
Right now, I would say that it's probably a 7 or 8.
But you don't grimace, you don't?
No.
Okay. So now, in terms of symptoms, do you have any symptoms right now other than the pain?
Other than the pain, I have lesions and there's slight discoloration in my right leg exclusively.
Is that where it started? Is that where the CRPS originated?
Correct. Okay. Yes.
All right.
And I'm still getting those monoclonic jerks.
Okay. Can you describe a little bit more for the jury what those involve?
So with the monoclonic jerks, it's completely involuntary. It could be from my foot to the top of my head. It's not a specific area that I just twitch in. So it's not really dependent on anything. It could be anywhere.
All right. So now, does this interfere with any aspects of your life? When did this start, the monoclonic jerking?
I noticed it after John Hopkins All Children's Hospital, and it's just progressively gotten worse. And I did meet with my CRPS physician, Dr. Kirkpatrick, and he said that it's likely to get worse and worse.
Approach on this, please.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.